Well, I'll have to say I'm nervous. Been a long time since I've stood in front of a lot of you. And I was reminiscing back. You know, I don't know what all Jackie has told you. I've been hearing various things. But I came here in 1964. This is coming into Huntsville, and started worshiping with the Jordan Park congregation. This was, it was called the home congregation because they also sent me out to preach at this first one place and then another, and I'd been gone for 2 or 3 years, and then Lula Mae Brown. Those of you who do not know who Lula Mae is have missed a treat. She was something else. And she would come up to me and she said, "Well now, don't you think it's about time that you came home?" And I said, "Well, yes, ma'am, but you're the one who sent me out." "Well, I'll just have to talk to my husband about that." And, of course, that was Hank Brown. So I want to tell you that I appreciate very much the support that you have given me over the years, first one thing and another. And, of course, Jackie and I have been friends for two forevers. And I've enjoyed that and still enjoy it and continue or hope to continue to do that. But you wanted to get me here to talk about a particular sermon that I had done, and Mike, if you want to put that up, we'll get started on it. Yeah. Who knows what that is? Nobody? Wow, this is going to be a pushover. Oh, no, I just saw a hand with Jackie and maybe one of the... What is it? It's home plate? All right. Well, that's right. That's exactly what it is. It is home plate. So we'd be talking about baseball and so forth. But you see that top edge? How wide is that? Now, Jackie, you can't answer because you've heard this before. So. How wide is that? This is the part that that faces the pitcher, and how wide is it? That's close. You did say 18, right? Nope, not 18. 17 inches. All right. And how long has it been 17 inches? I didn't hear that. Always? Yeah, that's probably close to right. This goes clear back into the 1840s when baseball was starting up and so forth. And they've changed a lot of things in baseball. One of the things that they did was to try to determine what the proper length from the home base to first base would be. And they started off... I don't remember whether they started off with 100 or whether they started off with 80, but it soon became apparent that if it was at 100, then the base runners had a real advantage. And if it was at 80, the fielders had a real advantage. And so it's been established that it would be 90 feet between the bases, and which seems to be just about right because we see so many close plays at first base, and it makes the game more interesting. I know that some people would just as soon watch paint dry as to watch a ball game, but you know that's that. I guess it takes all kinds to make a world. And so, when we think about the home plate and that being the I guess we need to ask the question. If it's in the Pony League, how wide is that plate? I heard somebody. You have to forget that I'm hard of hearing, so, you know. How wide is it? 17 inches. If it's down in the little boys and the T-ball and so forth, how wide is it then? Still 17 inches. And it's that way for softball, even for the girls. It's still 17 inches. Now, we live in a world where things are supposed to be changed. Well, I guess they're supposed to be. Everybody thinks that they are. And if you have this little guy, and he's a super athlete, and he wants to be a pitcher, and he can't hit the home plate. What do they do with him? What do they do if he's in major leagues? You know, we hear the announcers and they say, "Well, it just seems like the pitcher can't find the plate tonight." And sure enough, he can't. So what do? They widen the plate, right? No. It's still 17 inches, and they bring somebody else in to take his place, somebody that can find the plate. And I like to hear the announcers when they talk about a pitcher that can paint the corners. What that means is that he can get it across and just barely get it across. But see, in the world that we live in now, everybody gets a prize. If you go out to play any kind of ball, basketball, baseball, I don't care what it is, at the end of the season, it makes no difference whether you won or lost, you get a prize. And I think that's ridiculous. Why in the world would we do that? You know, they talk about playing the games and not keeping score. Why? If you're not going to keep score, what's the use of playing the game? Let me impress upon you the fact that this does not change. It is unchangeable. They're not going to change it. It won't be that way. Mike, you want to bring up the next one? Yeah. Now we want to talk about something besides baseball. The Bible is God's home plate. It doesn't change. And we need to remember that as we're going about from day to day and we're talking to various people. The religious world is just upside down as far as what they do and so forth. They just don't realize that God made the rules and the rules don't change. It started at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. What did God say to them? You take care of all of this stuff, but don't eat of that tree. And if you do, you'll die. And they did, and they died. What? You know, what were they thinking about? Well, that's what temptation is, and that's what the devil does to us. And he comes to us in all sorts of different ways, and he tries to get our attention so that we will do what he wants us to do rather than doing what God says to do. Now, we can go through step by step. No, we can't because we don't have the time. But if we think about this, you know, Cain and Abel. Cain offered up a sacrifice. Why did he do that? Well, because God had instructed a sacrifice. Because in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it tells us that by faith, Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, something that we need to think about when we listen or we look at something like that. How did Abel know what God wanted? Well, it's because God told them what they wanted. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Romans, what is it, 10:17? So, well, we don't know what it was. In fact, we know very little about the patriarchal law that was established by God even from the time of the Adam and Eve being kicked out of the garden. But when we think about this, and we realize that Abel knew what God wanted, and Abel did exactly what God wanted, And Cain did not. And God was not happy. He talked to Cain and said, why are you so downtrodden? Why is your face, he already knew that Cain had killed his brother. But he was talking about their sacrifice. We know very, very little about the beginnings of the earth. In fact, for several hundred years. But we do know that God was not happy with what the people had done. Now, think about this. If God's not happy, why is He not? Well, it's because that the people haven't done what God said to do. And He says, they are wicked. They have evil in their hearts continually, and I'm going to destroy all of them. I don't know why He wanted to destroy the animals. But He did. And He made them. And He had the right to do exactly what He wanted to with them. So He destroyed them. But there is a passage in the Scripture that's wonderful. And the passage says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's a wonderful thing when you stop and think about it, because here he is. Here's Noah, and he's living in this place that's wicked. Extremely wicked. Wicked to the point that God says, I am sorry that I made these folks, and I'm going to destroy them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I do have a question for you. We're talking about all this wickedness and so forth, and we know that in the ark there was Noah and his wife and the three sons and their wives. And how did Noah raise sons that were good in this wicked world? Well, I don't know. Don't know the answer to that. And also, How did the sons find wives that were acceptable from this wicked world? I don't know. But I tell you what it does do. It gives me courage and should give all the parents courage to know that they can raise godly children. Ones that will find grace in the sight of the Lord, that they can do that. It makes a difference how wicked the world is around us. It's wicked. The world that we live in right now is just wicked. And there's people that exactly fit the description that God said that their thoughts and the intents of their hearts are wicked continually. Well, all right. We could go on through the Old Testament with exactly the same thing that I've been telling you with these, and ask the questions. And what would the answers be? Well, the answers would be that this one didn't do what God said, that one didn't do what God said, this one, was disobedient, that one was disobedient, and because of that, God was not happy with them. Just think back. I know the most of you know your Bible really well. And you think about his attitude toward the children of Israel. He was upset at them all the time. And for good reason. Because they were hard-headed and obnoxious. And they went into idolatry. They turned away from God. And they did what God said don't do. Well, let's think about today. Now, remember what we're talking about here, that the Bible is God's home plate. Does that mean to you that it's not going to change? If it doesn't, it ought to, because it's not going to change. God has told us what He wants us to do. God has let us know what makes Him happy. what brings praise and honor to His name. And so then we have to turn and we think about all the things that God has told us. When God tells us what to do, then we need to recognize what it is. And I just, I'm holding up this iPad and I have to comment here a minute. We have a lady out at Harvest and she's not happy when I do that. She said, that's not a Bible. Well, she's right, it's not, but it has the Bible on there. And I keep telling her that the reason I have the Bible on this is so I can read it. Because I can make the letters big enough that they'll stand out and I can read them. Otherwise, she said, well, just go ahead and buy you a Bible with big enough print. And I said, huh? I'd have to have a wheelbarrow to carry it around if I had one. That way. And that still doesn't make her happy. This is a fantastic instrument, but it's also quite dangerous. You can waste more time on Facebook than I can imagine. You can find out more things to do on Pinterest, which just upsets me to no end, because Virginia has a long list of things that she wants me to build or do or fix or whatever. And all of it comes from Pinterest. Now, I'm saying all this because I want you to recognize that this can be a very helpful thing. I've got the Bible on here. I've got the concordance on here. I've got a dictionary. I've got a lot of things that makes it a very easy and very good to study with. But I also know that just a few clicks away are things that a Christian never needs to look at. Be careful with it. And all you young people, you know, you're going to learn to use them. I know you are. Can't stop that. Don't know that I want to stop it. But I do want to warn you that the devil lurks between the covers of your iPad. And if you're not careful, you can be drawn in by, well, I won't go into it, but there's, you know, things will flash up every once in a while. I want me to go over here, and I did once. I did once. That's what made me know that I don't want to do it again. I don't need to do it again because it leads me into places that I don't need to be. Okay, we've got the Word. We've got home plate. We know what God wants us to do. Now the thing is doing it. Are we going to do it or we're not? Now see, that's a decision that we have to make. It's not something that's cut and dried for us. All of us live lives and we have temptations in those lives. And temptations will cause us to stumble if we're not careful. And so we look at this and we have to realize that God has told us what He wants us to do. And He's laid it out here for us in His Word. Now, homosexuality was a big problem back in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it caused the city to be destroyed. Do you think God's any happier with it today than He was then? No, He's not. Why do I know that? Because the Bible is God's home plate. And God has said, don't do this. In Romans, I believe it's the first chapter, and where He talks there about men being with men and women being with women. And he talks about all the various sins and so forth that are there. And he says, don't do that. Well, when God says don't do that, we can't move home plate. It makes no difference how badly we think that we want to do something. If God said no, the answer is no. That's one of the problems that parents have not learned in the raising of their kids in a lot of instances, is that when I say no, I mean no. Now, I remember when the kids were younger and something was said, well, why? You know, that's a word that has just cropped up in the English language from forever. And where did it come from? I don't. It seems that the people of the Old Testament were asking God, well, why? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? And my wife's answer was, because I said so. And that's a good answer until they get a little bit older. And then we need to have a reason to show them from God's Word why we said the things that we did, the yes or no. So what about all the other things that are happening in our life now? I won't even go into the immodesty, because that's such a broad term that I don't know what to do with it. You can go to Walmart and be absolutely shocked. You can go to the grocery store and be shocked. I've seen stuff in both places that I shouldn't see. And why they want to dress that way and do that way, I have no idea. But it's because that they haven't looked into the Word of God. The Word of God needs to shake them up. It needs to bring them into the reality as to what God will accept and what God won't accept. And won't it be a shame when we stand before God and He begins to question us about our behavior, and we'd say, I just didn't know any better. Foolishness. You did know better. If you didn't know better, it's because you didn't study and you didn't look at God's Word. Now, we've been talking about baseball, and, it's 90 feet from the different bases, from home to first, and first to second, and second to third. Well, the Christian life has a lot of similarities to baseball, because there's a number of things that you have to do before you cross home plate. Now, you've watched ball games, you know about it. Here's the guy, and he hits a triple, and everybody's just thrilled to death. So he's standing there, and they're waiting for him to come in. And he never makes it in. Wasn't a run, was it? Well, suppose we have our friends who are in various religious organizations and so forth, and they don't go by the same rules that we go by. They have hearing for the first base and confession for second base and go on, but they never come to baptism. Baptism brings us around the home plate. And unless you've been baptized for the remission of your sins, then you haven't crossed home plate. You haven't scored. You're not a child of God. You're not one of His. I hate to be that frank about it, but that's just the case. Because the Bible is God's home plate, and this is exactly what God said. And if you want to know more about what it takes to become a child of God, read the book of Acts. And the book of Acts will tell you in so many different places that this is what was necessary for those people at that time. And guess what? It's the same thing for us today. Same requirements, same rules, nothing's changed. because the Bible is God's home plate. Are you here tonight and you're not a child of God? We can help you with that. If you would come forward and make it known and confess Christ before men, be buried in baptism, you would rise to walk a brand new person. And I might put it this way. You may not like this particular term, but you'd be on God's team. You'd be a member of and a part of what Jesus Christ died for. Part of the church. Can we help you? If we can, won't you come while we stand and sing?